What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Clippers game day, so we have a ton of stuff to talk about. I'm going to be doing a preview for the game against the Timberwolves tonight. I misspoke on Monday and said they were playing the Mavs. I truly apologize. My emotions got the better of me. We're going to be running down the GM NBA survey that came out today, wrapping up some preseason games from around the league, mostly Western Conference stuff, and then getting into a fantastic What Could Have Been Wednesday. Let's start off right now with some NBA preseason wrap-up from other teams. DeAndre Ayton made his debut, putting up 24-10 and 3 blocks. This was against the Kings, so maybe take it with a grain of salt, but he looked like a monster down low. He was basically just like picking up Kings players and hurling them out of his way. Offensively, it was a terrifying performance from an opposing team standpoint. He did anything he wanted down low. He didn't have to take too many perimeter shots, which probably won't have to happen during the season with the shooting they have there, kind of. But I'm sure we're going to see that again coming up in the preseason. Offensively, he looked great. Defensively, he did have 3 blocks. I didn't watch the game. I just saw some highlights. He had one of his blocks, which kind of blew me away. De'Aaron Fox was right at the top of the perimeter, and he took a 3 from pretty, you know, behind the arc. And DeAndre Ayton's feet were at the top of the free throw circle, and he got a finger on the ball. That length, it kind of blew me away. I had to watch it a couple times to make sure I was actually seeing what I saw. So he didn't look too lost on defense like people and us on this podcast have thought. But this was against the Kings in the preseason. At one point, they ran a lineup of 1 point guard and 4 giant people. So who knows? But offensively, his game is there. It looks ready for the NBA. That's going to be a pretty not fun team to play this year. Other Western Conference news, the Jazz and the Raptors played. Joe Ingles scored 11 straight for the Jazz at one point, and he's a guy who really kind of feeds on his own confidence. When he starts getting hot and starts kind of jawing at people, it makes him play better. I think that's evident with 11 straight points. So if he can kind of keep this momentum going and hold on to this kind of chip on his shoulder, I'm going to jaw at you and I'm going to get hot while I do it mentality, adding that bit of offense to the Jazz, who, if Gobert is healthy, are going to have the best defense in the league, could put the Jazz maybe in that top 2 conversation in the Western Conference. I'm not ready to say it yet, but they just have some pieces that are pretty terrifying. They great coach. They play well together. They all like each other. It's gonna be a fun time down in Utah. They were playing the Raptors. Kawhi had 17 points in 18 minutes. Looked like he hadn't really missed a step. You know, he looked a little maybe not game shape ready, but that's to be expected. He was crazy efficient. Got to his spots. Made his shots. Toronto, him and Lowry had some good chemistry. So there, I mean, the top 4 in that Eastern Conference are just going to be slugging it out all year together. That's going to be a really fun race to watch. The Rockets played last night. As everyone assumed, Michael Carter-Williams had 19, 3, and 2 in 21 minutes. Can D'Antoni turn anyone into a productive player? I swear to God, Michael Carter-Williams was like my Uber driver the other day, and now he's just crushing it for the Rockets. Melo was pretty jovial in his home debut. At one point, he took a long 2 and then apologized to the bench for it because he knows that's not a Morey ball, so that was funny to see. Melo seems like he's going to have a way easier time in Houston offensively. All he's got to do is just stand there and catch and shoot. His jumper, no matter what you may think of him as a person or player, his jumper is one of the sweetest ones we've ever seen in the league. If D'Antoni can get him to buy in to what exactly the Rockets are doing, this is going to be a pretty scary team. They're firmly in the top 3, I think, for this upcoming season. They're throwing the kitchen sink at Golden State. This feels like maybe the last year they can really, with this team, compete against Golden State. So if Melo can buy in, have some fun in Houston, they could take it to, you know, maybe it'll be another exciting Western Conference Finals. Who knows? The Lakers lost by 2 against the Nuggets, and would you believe it or not, LeBron James' team at the end of regulation didn't even get a shot off, hoping he didn't have too bad of a flashback and punch a whiteboard or something like that. Concerning for the Lakers, kind of, was the backup center position. Mo Wagner was hurt. In the game last night, Mason Plumlee went 11 for 11. Just, I'm going to let that sink in for a few seconds. You can't let Mason Plumlee, A, take 11 shots, and B, make all 11 shots. That feels egregious. They played Kuzma at the 5 a little bit, and that utterly failed. He cannot guard fives. That is not his game. Fantastic shooter, great spot up guy. Do not put him down there to try and guard a Karl Anthony Towns or anything like that. Early in the season, we maybe are going to see LeBron at the five more because they have to, but who knows? That seems like their best route. Their bench is going to look a lot better once they get Lonzo and Rondo both healthy and on the team. But yeah, that backup center position, pretty shady. Pretty shady for the Lakers. Not very good for the Clippers either, but at least we have some guys who have actually played and guarded centers before. Miles Bridges, former Clipper great for all of 7.5 minutes, is looking really good for the Hornets. I'm trying to convince myself it's just because he's getting so much usage in the preseason. He is averaging 26 minutes per game. I hope we don't regret on trading him. I don't think we will. Shea seems like he's going to be a fantastic player and ready to be the cornerstone of our franchise, maybe after this year, after some warm-up time. But it just kind of hurts to see, you know? You see your ex back doing great. And it was an amicable split, so we're just happy that she's doing well. But Bridges is crushing it. He's had some fantastic put-back dunks, which have been fun to watch. I hope he does well, but not better than Shea. The 2018 NBA GM survey came out today. Clippers, Lou Williams got voted for the biggest difference off the bench, which I think, you know, not unexpected. The most interesting pick, I think, was that Shea got voted the biggest steal of the draft by the other NBA GMs, which has to make all of us Clippers fans feel great. I think we're going to get into tonight more specifically about playing time, but he is slated for some more minutes tonight, which is going to be fantastic to see in his home debut. Clippers were picked to not make the postseason, so all those other GMs can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. The most interesting omission, I thought, was that Patrick Beverley was not even mentioned on the best defensive player, most intense, or best perimeter defender lists. That surprised me because I can't believe that other GMs would want to add fuel to Patrick Beverley's fire. He's going to see this, he's going to play out of his mind, as he already seems to be doing in the preseason, and he's going to make everyone regret not putting him on that list. I can't wait to see how this fires him up. Another minor one, Doc got fifth on the list of coaches who make the best in-game adjustments. I'll let you guys decide how you feel about that one. I would maybe not have put him on that list, but hey, we'll see. After last year, I'm all right with it. Coming up, we're going to be doing a fantastic What Could Have Been Wednesday, and then get into a little bit of a preview of the game tonight against the Timberwolves. So this week's What Could Have Been Wednesday is a pretty, this one goes kind of way back. It's what if the Buffalo Braves didn't move to California and instead moved to Florida, which was a possibility. So at the time, the Braves moved out of Buffalo basically because their owner got tired of dealing with the team. It was a hockey town. He was getting a lot of pressure to take the team out of Buffalo, namely from someone named Father James Dembski, who represented the Canasus Golden Griffins men's basketball team that was part of something called the Little Three Rivalry, which was a rivalry between three religious colleges in basketball in the Buffalo area. That's who was putting pressure on Paul Snyder to get the team out of Buffalo. Snyder believed Dembski was making it purposely difficult for the Braves to get good home dates at their auditorium, and this made the NBA mad. I can't, this is kind of a tangent, I can't fathom three small religious schools now in 2018 putting pressure on an NBA team to move out of town. It makes me laugh. No one even cared about these teams. This wasn't Duke, this wasn't Louisville, these were just three small religious schools. At the time, Paul Snyder supposedly had a handshake deal to move the Braves out of Buffalo to Miami, Florida, which would have put them there about 10 years or so before the Heat got there. The city of Buffalo filed a $10 million damage suit to block this move. For those keeping track of score, that's $43 million in today's dollars. Doesn't really seem like that much, but I'll let the economics guys figure that out. Snyder then actually gave the team to John Brown, who dismantled it. So, this was pretty crazy. John Brown owned the Braves. He had the Braves. He got the team from Irvin, or he got the team from Snyder. He owned the Braves, and so he actually ended up the owner of the Celtics at the time. Irv Levin was from California and wanted to own a team in his home state. Levin, being a smart man, knew that the NBA would never let him move the Celtics, this is 1978, mind you, would never let him move the Celtics, and agreed to swap franchises with John Brown, who owned the Braves after Snyder. What a swap for Brown. I mean, truly, what an all-time, like, was this just a handshake thing of, like, your franchise, my franchise? I can't believe that this happened. So they just swapped franchises, and Irv Levin now owned the Buffalo Braves and could move them to California, which he did. They go to San Diego, they go to LA, and now we're here. But what if that deal never happened? What if that team actually went to Miami, Florida in 1976, 12 years before the Heat? That would have been, I mean, pretty great for the city of Miami. The biggest ripple effect, I think, would this probably nixing the Orlando Magic from existing. Who knows if Snyder would still be the owner of the team or his heirs. But that just would have been a trip. That I think it's very cool to think of a team in Miami in the 1970s before the Heat. But I think the coolest part was that if this didn't happen, I think what could have been is that Irv Levin maybe would just throw a tantrum and end up moving the Celtics to California to be in his home state and make everyone mad. And that would birth perhaps the craziest branding of all time, which would have been the San Diego Celtics. It either would have been the San Diego Celtics, which sounds great, but doesn't necessarily make a whole bunch of sense, or it would have been the Clippers, and the Celtics just might not exist at this point. I think it's truly, it's such, for lack of a better word, ballsy move for Levin to have wanted to move the Celtics in the 70s. Like, they're, you know, less than a decade removed from truly dominating the league and setting the standard for what a fantastic franchise is. And he just was homesick. Like, he was like, nope, I want to get out of here. I want my team. Thankfully, this didn't happen. And we have the wonderful Los Angeles Clippers. But it's just a pretty astonishing story. I think it's really funny to look back, especially on just how ownership used to exist. I wish more owners would swap franchises. That's something that I think is, because with how business-oriented everything is, that just never happened today. I imagine these two guys, like, went to a restaurant that serves, like, French dips and that kind of stuff. Like, a real, like, let's settle this over a steak sandwich. And just asked about it and just wanted to move. That's my What Could Have Been Wednesday today. I think that's a pretty interesting one. Thankfully, we have the Clippers. Coming up, we are going to preview the game against the Timberwolves tonight. A lot of talk about there. But first, hey, if you're looking for tickets for tonight's game or any game for the Clippers or any show, really, you should check out Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is your number one stop for events, be it live sporting, music, movies, anything you need. You can search by type of event, seating, arena, whatever. If you're a new customer, use promo code LOCKEDON in all capital letters to get $20 off your first order of $200 or more. Those of you who have kids, those dang kids, you got to pay to get them into the dang games. Use this code, it'll help you on your night out. If you only like going to Staples Center for some reason, boom, you can search by Staples Center. If you only want to see musicals, boom, you can search by musicals. Each purchase on Vivid Seats is backed by 100% guarantee for authenticity. That's Vivid Seats. Use promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, to get $20 off your first order of $200 or more. So tonight, at 7:30, the Timberwolves and Clippers tip off for the Clippers preseason home opener. God, I am excited. I am wearing my Ralph Lawler socks at work today. No one has complimented me on them. They are all on my enemy list. We got a lot of pretty cool developments in the last couple days. Specifically, Doc Rivers has said he's planning on resting Lou Williams and quote-unquote maybe another veteran for tonight's game. Milos Teodosic is out of action with a hamstring injury, which, I know I've kind of brought this up before, but where did this injury come from? I feel like it kind of came out of nowhere. I'm hoping Milos isn't currently in trade talks and trying on Phoenix Suns or Timberwolves uniforms. But Lou Williams is going to be resting. His rotation plan for the game is to play the young guys more. He came out and said it. He named Shea, Jerome, Ty, and Sindarius. Conspicuously off this list is Juwan Evans, which maybe, you know, it is only his second preseason game, but I'm hoping this isn't a sign that he's as good as waived. You'd think he'd be in that list for young guys to get playing time, but who knows? I really personally want to see Angel Delgado and Jonathan Motley get some more time tonight. Angel Delgado was a DNP in that last game. Motley played, I believe, 1 minute. But hey, he had 2 points and he was plus four. So hopefully Angel Delgado gets some minutes. Shea is going to get some more time, which, I mean, he played over 20 minutes in that first game. So he might see, you know, maybe around 25, 30 minutes. I think all of us want to see him run with the starters a little more, see what he's like with that spacing. Lou Williams is getting sat, so he's going to be a pretty big hole in offense coming off of the bench. So if Shea is starting with the starters, maybe we'll see Jerome running with that second squad. He's a guy who they love his jumper. They love his grit. I am so excited to see more of Jerome. He only got 1 minute in that first game. Shea, it's been mentioned, he himself has talked about it. He needs to work on his conditioning, so tonight's going to be a fantastic test. He's going up against guys like Teague and D. Rose, who are going to, you know, they're going to run you to the ground. He's really going to get a good litmus test for how strong his lungs are. Ty is probably going to run point guard with the third team, which will be cool to see. I want to see him and Jerome on the same, you know, on the same rotation. I think Ty Wallace and Jerome, that's a really good complementary mix. Jerome's shooting is knocked down. Ty, if he can be aggressive, maybe some drive and dishes. Sindarius, rejoice. We rejoice for the Thorn God on this podcast. Maybe he'll get time with the second team. Maybe he's playing the two. Maybe see some Shea and Cindy. That would be awesome. We're very excited to see all of the young guys get time tonight. There's been some talk that maybe this is a showcase that Doc is putting on for Tibbs, for players he might want for Jimmy Butler. Not reported yet if Jimmy Butler will be at the stadium, but I think we can all hope that this isn't that. I'm out on Jimmy Butler at this point. I don't want him on the team. Let me know your guys' thoughts on that. I mean, I'll argue with you. I don't want him. Looking at the Wolves, not really sure who's going to be getting a ton of playing time. In their last preseason game, they played Teague and Rose. At the same time, for most of the game, Rose strictly played the two guard in that game. So I'm really excited. I hope they play a lot of these more veteran guys against our young guys just to see how they shake up against true NBA veterans. It's going to be a really fun time. Not sure how much time Wiggins, Taj, and Karl Anthony Towns are going to get. If Gallo plays, he's going to be guarding Taj, which I think is fine for defensive purposes. Not too much of a challenge for Gallo. But we can probably also assume after how much time he played in that first game, Gallo's going to get a little bit of rest. Karl-Anthony Towns, if he's going to get a lot of substantial time, watching him against our centers might be hard for me to watch. That's going to give us, he's arguably the best offensive center in the Western Conference. So this will give us a good idea of what Doc wants to do when playing such an elite center. I have to assume it's going to be Gortat, who's maybe going to bang around down there and try and assert his body on Karl Anthony Towns. Or it's going to be Trez. Trez is a little thicker than Gortat, maybe a little more jawier, more get-in-your-head type stuff. So that would be... I'm a little terrified. I'm just a little scared to watch Karl Anthony Towns perhaps destroy us last night. I watched Damian Lillard last year, I think, put up 50 points on the Clippers in preseason. That didn't translate to the regular season, but take it with what you will. Tobias, hoping he gets some time. I want to see Tobias and Wiggins go at it tonight. Wiggins seems to be hated by every analyst right now in terms of analytics. There's an article saying he's like one of the slowest players in the league. It's like him and then Boban, I think, were the two people. So Tobias guarding Wiggins will be great just to see Tobias's defense getting a little better. Watching him work Wiggins will be fun on the offensive board. But again, not sure how many minutes we're going to see from Toby. Hope it's a little. Hope to see him and Shea and some of the younger guys out there doing their thing. Moving to the second unit, the Wolves bench is a little more impressive than I thought it was going to be. In their game against the Golden State Warriors, Anthony Tolliver shot 10 threes in their first preseason game. He hit 5 of them. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to take 10 and hit 5, keep doing your thing. The Wolves bench with Tolliver just jacking up threes. And then they got this rookie named Josh Okoji. I apologize if I mispronounced that. He's an energy guy. He's straight up energy. He got to the line really early in their game against Golden State. So Tolliver and Okoji are going to be a really cool kind of duo to see how our second unit reacts to them. That's going to be, you know, a lot of drive and dish with Okoji just pounding his way into the lane. And then Tolliver with really seemingly a green light to shoot whenever the hell he feels like it. this is going to be a good test for our second unit. Georgie Dang is going to be playing. He's another guy who I'm pretty sure our center core can take care of. I think if Boban is on him, he's probably our third guy. If Boban is on Georgie, that's going to be pretty smothering. Luol Deng only played 5 minutes in their game against the Warriors, but he scored their final 6 points. So is Luol Deng back? Question mark? Probably not. I don't think so. Tibbs might play him all 48 minutes tonight. Who knows? My prediction for the game is that the Clippers come out on top by about, let's call it 4 points. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm mostly just excited to see the development of these young guys, though. I want to see Delgado. I want to see Motley. I'm hoping that Jerome plays over 20 minutes in the game. I want to see him get a full run. And I think the biggest thing to look out for, if you're a Clippers fan, is just to see how Shea's stamina holds up guarding such high energetic guards. He's probably going to be out there a lot with Josh Okogie, trying to run around with him. So it's already been noted that Shea has some conditioning issues, so I can't imagine other teams aren't going to try and take advantage of that as the season goes on. But let's hope he can get some air into those skinny lungs. I will be at the game tonight. I'm not sure where I'm sitting. My friend has a hookup because he sells beer, and we are having free tickets. I will let you guys know where I'm sitting. If you want to come say what's up, throw a drink in my face, buy me a Ludo Bird chicken sandwich, whatever you want to do. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. It's game day for the Clippers. Let's all be excited. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler, and this has been the Locked On Clippers podcast, as always, on the Locked On Podcast Network.